at Psalm 13, a short but potent psalm for sure. Hear now God's holy and inspired word. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Thanks be to God for his holy and inspired word. We saw in our passage this morning in the book of Exodus, and of course we've been seeing this, but the central message of the plagues that God intended to send to the whole world was that there is no other like him. There's no God like him, no other being like him in all of creation. God is unequaled in power. He's unmatched in his strength. He's unparalleled in his goodness. God alone is the one who judges. God alone is the one who saves. There's no one like God. Therefore, one of the lessons we could have discussed this morning, we shouldn't be surprised when other people let us down or disappoint. Because no one is like God. Only God is God. You're not, I'm not. There's a sense in which David learns this lesson. This is a psalm of David here, Psalm 13, but Psalm 12 is also a psalm of David. And back in the previous psalm, David learned the lesson that sometimes people can let you down. David is grieving in Psalm 12 because the godly are gone from the land. The faithful have vanished. They're no more. David feels alone. He feels alone. Everyone around him is uttering lies, he says. David feels abandoned by his fellow man. So in Psalm 12, when everyone else has let him down and abandoned him, David turns to God knowing that he can. But here in Psalm 13, David is facing something far more troubling, because here David feels abandoned not by men. He knows men will let him down. Here David feels abandoned by God, by God. How long, O Lord, David prays, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? We expect to be abandoned by the people around us. But abandoned by God? Abandoned by God? How can this be? And where do you turn? Where do you turn? To whom do you pray when you feel as if you're abandoned by God? Well, the psalm will answer these questions for us, and of course more. I had someone say to me a couple of weeks ago, she was facing her own trials, her own difficulties, and she said to me, well, I know that God doesn't give us more than we can handle. Now, to be clear, this woman, she doesn't go to our church. I don't believe she goes to any church at all. She seemed to have some kind of at least spoken faith there. But I don't expect this woman to have her theological ducks in a row, so to speak. So I'm not surprised she made this statement. God doesn't let us or give us more than we can handle. She's wrong, of course. She's wrong in this statement. The saying that we hear sometimes, common as it is profoundly wrong. God often gives us more than we can handle. And he does it so that we might learn to trust him and depend on him. To say that God doesn't give us more than we can handle, and think about what you're saying then. That's to say that I can handle things. I can do it. I can depend on myself. I can look to myself. But when you know that God often gives you more than you can handle, what do you have to say then? You have to say, I don't depend on me because it's beyond me. I depend on God and God alone. And it's not an infrequent thing. It's an everyday thing that God gives us more than we can handle to teach us to depend on him. And I think with that in mind, this makes it all the more stunning, all the more troubling and debilitating when we know this, when we know how much we depend on God, that he's all the time giving us more than we can handle, and yet, sometimes like David, we feel abandoned by God. It's a stunning place to be, isn't it? It's kind of a paralyzing place to be. And when we feel this, there really can only be anguish, and that's what David is feeling here. He's in deep anguish. And maybe you felt this too, what David is expressing here. God, maybe you feel like God is just blessing everyone around you, smiling on them, but not on you. He's not blessing you. He's troubling you. He's bringing trouble into your life. Or maybe you just feel dry, spiritually dry. Maybe you have a thirst for God, a longing for him, but that thirst has not been quenched. You read your Bible, you listen to sermons, you pray, but you don't feel a response back from God, no sense of his love or presence, and so you're spiritually parched. Or maybe you just feel like God doesn't care about you, that he's unfriended you. You've dropped off his friends list and he's ignoring you. Or maybe it's your sin. Your sin is so great that you feel as if God can't ever possibly be near to you, never again, because you've moved yourself beyond his reach. This feeling of being abandoned by God can take on the form, it can come to us in real life struggles, intense real life struggles. Maybe it is that your children are not walking with the Lord, or your marriage is suffering and there's no one to speak to because you feel as if God is not listening. Or maybe at work you're suffering, you're being just crushed in a culture of corruption that is eating you alive. Or maybe at church it can sometimes feel as if there's no growth, and you long for a renewal and you just don't feel it. Or maybe you just have a feeling of spiritual dullness personally, like a plant that's just slowly withering. These are the kinds of things that David is feeling, it seems. And in feeling this, he's full of questions for God. They're just coming out in kind of a roughshod manner here. God, have you forgotten me? Will this go on forever? You've hidden your face from me. Why? How much longer until your face shines on me again? How much longer until I feel the pleasure of your blessing? That's what it means for God's face to shine on you. It's God's blessing upon you. And for David to say that his face is no longer shining on him, it's a removal, a total removal is what David feels of God's blessing from his life. And it does seem to be the case that in the midst of all of this, David is possessed by an internal turmoil. Like he's just left alone with his thoughts, and this is leading him nowhere, to no good place whatsoever. So he says in verse 2, "How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day?" This is a picture of a man who's absorbed by his own dark thoughts. His emotions are unchecked, uncontrolled. He can't pull himself together. He has no light. He can only ruminate on his failure. He feels he can't turn to God, so he turns inward to himself and finds only sorrow there. And on top of all of this, his enemies see his sense of abandonment, and they take advantage of it. They exalt over him. Verse 2, how long shall my enemies be exalted over me? It's a dark picture. And it's an extraordinarily hard place to be. And I think all of us, at some point or another in our lives, maybe even tonight, we can relate to David here. And as we look at this psalm, I think it would be very helpful for us to remember that this is mighty King David. This is mighty King David experiencing the sense of abandonment from God. This is David who's been chosen by God, anointed by God. He is the man central to the working out of God's kingdom in this particular age in which David lives. David is the author of myriads of psalms. He is a man of prayer and deep spirituality. If there's anyone who should feel close to God, we would think it would be David, but no. David feels abandoned. And if David feels abandoned by God, we can be sure that this experience among Christians is far more common than we might realize. We don't talk about this, I don't think. And maybe it's taboo. Maybe it's even taboo in our own church. I don't know. This feeling of abandonment by God. We don't talk about it because we're taught often to view the Christian life as kind of a constant victory, one after another, constant intimacy with the Lord. And if you're not walking in victory and intimacy with the Lord, then there's something wrong with you. When it comes time for prayer here on Sunday evenings, never once in all of my years here with you have I said, nor have you said, open time of prayer, pray for me, pray for me. I am abandoned by God. Pray for me. Maybe you've come Sunday night after Sunday night and you've been feeling that, but you've never said it. And maybe because it's a culture of taboo that you're not allowed to say that. And I hope that's not the case. I hope that's not the case. I've never heard anyone say, pray for me because God has forgotten me. He's turned his face away from me. I don't know why no one's made that request. Maybe it's too public of a setting. Maybe it's a request to be made more intimately among friends, but you felt that, haven't you? Surely you felt that. Maybe it's because sometimes maybe we ourselves subtly teach that Christians should never feel abandoned. And if we do, there's something wrong with you. But I think David would beg to differ on this point. I think if David were here, he would be the first to make the request, pray for me, I feel abandoned by God. That's what he's doing here. He's saying, God's forgotten about me. I can feel it. I need help. And I hope you can find encouragement by this openness and honesty of David in this psalm. It's an incredible thing to see. If David feels it, then you can be sure you're not alone when you feel it. You're not the first Christian to feel abandoned by God. And you won't be the last. So it's okay. It's okay sometimes to go ahead and make that prayer request. It's okay. Maybe you feel like this is too public a setting, but with friends and intimate settings, with your family, with your spouse, you can share it. Take them to Psalm 13 and say in these moments where you're feeling this, this is where I am. This is me. This is what I'm feeling. Pray for me. And be encouraged. There's at least a little bit of encouragement here that you're not alone. King David himself is in the same place. We can make another observation from these questions that David is asking as we notice that all of them are about time. They're about the duration of his suffering. So the question repeatedly is how long, how long, how long, how long? Four times he asks the question. There's the suggestion here that part of David's real challenge in this feeling of abandonment is not so much the intensity of the trials that he's facing, but the duration of them is what is troubling him. In short intervals, maybe these trials he's facing are nothing. They might have been light afflictions, barely noticeable perhaps even. But day after day, month after month, year after year, he's worn down. He's worn down. And so he prays, how long, how long? There's a sense here in which the duration of the trials, not the intensity of them, is what leads him to this feeling of abandonment. John Calvin says, when we are for a long time weighed down by calamities, and when we do not perceive any sign of divine aid, this thought unavoidably forces itself upon us that God has forgotten us. Another commentator, Andrew Fuller, says, it is not under the sharpest, but the longest trials that we are most in danger of fainting. When Job was accosted with evil tidings in quick succession, he bore it with becoming fortitude. But when he could see no end to his troubles, he sunk under them. Isn't this often the case? Isn't this often the case? God sustains us powerfully, and we feel it and we know it, and perhaps even the church community sustains us powerfully in a moment of dramatic tragedy in our lives. Everyone rallies around you. You know God is with you, and he gives you strength to withstand whatever it is you're facing as it comes sharply and quickly. But it's often the mundane and the daily plodding that weariness can set in, and we can start to feel a little more, a little more, a little more that God is growing distant. And then we end up like David. How long, how long, how long? This isn't in our text, but I think we can add another element to this condition that David is feeling, and it may be that there's a physical element that leads to this kind of condition, this feeling of abandonment, because we're physical creatures. We're not detached souls running around. We have bodies, and our bodies grow weary, and weary bodies lead to weary hearts, weary minds. If you're a mother with a colicky baby, some of you have perhaps experienced this over the years, up every night, weeks into months, there are spiritual consequences for you, aren't there? If you work constantly without rest, if your health is failing, if you're wrung out physically, exhausted, there are often spiritual consequences associated with our physical estate. And very quickly, we can begin to feel abandoned by God because of the physical trials we're facing. So what do we do? What do we do? What does David do here? And it's no surprise at all what David does. David prays. David prays. He prays, and this is a turning point for him. Although he feels abandoned by God, he knows he's not. He knows he can still pray. He knows God hears him. Even if he doesn't feel it, he knows it. Even if he doesn't feel it, he knows it, that God is with him. So he prays, he prays. Even if he doesn't feel as if God is listening, he knows God is listening. And his prayer comes in three requests in verse 3. The first thing David says is consider. The Hebrew word here is look. The NIV translates this, look on me, look on me. It's the prayer of someone who wants to get God's attention, who demands God's attention. Earlier, David admits, he says, God has hidden his face. God has hidden his face. So what does David pray to God? He prays, God, look at me. Turn your face at me. Look at me. Don't hide your face from me. See me. I'm here. I've shared with you before, my children have to do this with me. Remember I told you about Levi? I'll hear him all the way on the other side of the house. Daddy, 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 daddy. He gets closer and closer and closer until he gets right up in my face. Daddy, daddy, daddy. And then he'll just, you know, grab me and physically pull me to get my attention. This is what David is doing here. Daddy, 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 look at me, look at me, look at me. And it can be our prayer too, if we feel abandoned by God. God, look at me, look on us. And then David prays, secondly, answer me. He feels as if God has been silent. And he wants to hear God's voice again. Answer me, he prays. And then he prays, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. David knows that without the Lord, everything is lost. And so he prays for God to renew him, to restore him, to restore life to him again, lest he fall into death. David is in danger here. He's in danger. And John Calvin, commenting on this, he says, in short, David confesses that unless God causes the light of life to shine upon him, he will immediately be overwhelmed with the darkness of death, and that he is already a man without life unless God breathe into him a new vigor. And certainly, Calvin goes on, our confidence of life depends on this, that although the world may threaten us with a thousand deaths, yet God is possessed by numberless means of restoring life. And God does that, doesn't he? He renews us in all kinds of ways that we never thought possible. We may feel one day a total abandonment by God, and the next day feel the life that only he can give pouring into us through his mighty works in all kinds of various ways, numberless ways, Calvin says. And as we look at the psalm and as we look at how David closes the psalm, I think it's important to note this one last thing. We can almost have the impression as we read psalms like this that, okay, David feels abandoned, he prays, he follows this kind of formula, and then just kind of quickly, magically, everything is immediately better. It's just like, all right, that's all you've got to do. Almost like this is a health and wealth kind of gospel being presented here. But if we look carefully at verses 5 and 6, we see that this is not the case at all. The tense of the verbs that David uses here is crucial. Look at verse 5. Where David says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I mean, just a quick read of that, and we're thinking, oh, look, David's all better, everything's fine, he's rejoicing again, why doesn't that work for me? But notice the tense. It says, my heart shall rejoice. This is oriented toward the future. This is a future hope that David has. He's not yet experiencing this reality. He doesn't yet possess this joy, but he knows that it will come one day. He's still in the throes of all of his sorrows, all of his woes, but he knows the promises of God. So don't read the psalm and think, you know, there's a magic formula to just, bam, solve your problems. But it is through prayer, through reflecting on God's promises, that he is able to look forward to a deliverance that he doesn't yet possess. And then also in verse 6, the same thing. I will sing to the Lord because he's dealt bountifully with me. I will sing. That's future tense. He's not yet obtained what he desires, but he knows it's coming. He knows that a day is coming when he will be able to sing with joy, wonder, the praises of God, because he knows God is faithful and true. Again, John Calvin, on this last aspect of the psalm here, says, We may not be wholly free from sorrow, but it is nevertheless necessary that this cheerfulness of faith rise above it and put into our mouth a song on account of the joy that is reserved for us in the future. I love this. Why can you sing today? You can sing today even if you're in the midst of sorrow, because you know it's in the bank of God's divine blessing stored up for you. You know that in the future, God has joy for you. And Calvin says, although not as yet experienced by us, just as we see David here preparing himself to celebrate in the songs the grace of God before he perceives the relief of his trouble. He can sing not on the basis of his present experience, but on the basis of his future hope. And what a wonderful thing that is to know. This is such an essential part of this psalm, and for us as Christians who know Christ and who know that he has borne the sorrow of sin upon himself and the judgment of sin upon himself, the reality of being abandoned by God upon himself. We may feel abandoned by God, but it's just a feeling. It's just a feeling. God never abandons those who belong to him, because he did abandon Christ for our sake, so that we would never be abandoned. So we, so much more than even David, can look to the future and bank on the joy that the Lord is storing up for us if we don't yet feel it today. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for David, for his example here of openly confessing his innermost feelings, putting them on paper under the inspiration of your Spirit, that we might learn from them ourselves. We pray that this kind of honesty and reflection would permeate into our own lives, that we would be like David, not only in our expression of sorrow and grief, but also and especially in our expression of our hope in your promised blessings, which although we may not have yet received in full, we know they are guaranteed because Jesus has purchased them for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.